I sometimes ignore phone calls or decline dinner invitations? No one can force you to answer or come, but what if God calls you to be saved? Can you ignore or decline that? Find out on today's Grace to You. Probably heard the line about making someone an offer that they can't refuse. You know, it's never true. The victim can refuse. He'd simply face very unpleasant consequences. It's the same if you ignore a court summons or maybe your boss's invitation to dinner. You've got the power to refuse, all right, at your peril. Now, if God calls you, it's a call to be in His presence, in His kingdom, to be free from sin and the power of death, to be a member of His family, to live forever. Who would even want to decline, but could you? Does anyone have the power to refuse God's call to salvation? Not just ignore it and pay the consequences, but outright refuse. That's the issue that John MacArthur takes up today, what it means to be called by God, in his study, The Doctrines of Grace, here on Grace to You. Before we get to that, though, John, please talk about the anticipation building these days for that Strange Fire conference. Let's see, we're less than a month from the start. What would you say you are most excited about?
I think the fire's been lit, Carl. I think we're starting to hear the fire crackle as this thing tools up. We're not very far away. In just 3 weeks, about 4,000 people that we know are coming, and who knows how many we don't know are coming. We call them the unregistered church, the underground church, who will just show up from all over the world. They're going to join me, Steve Lawson, Conrad Mbewe, Tom Pennington, Phil Johnson, Nathan Buzenitz, good friends R.C. Sproul and Johnny Erickson Tata will also contribute to the conference. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be talking about the charismatic movement, but the purpose is not simply to critique that movement, though we will do that. The real purpose is to exalt the Holy Spirit and His true work. His true work, which is being misrepresented in the charismatic movement around the world. If you have registered for the Strange Fire Conference, you're blessed. Registration closed a long time ago, but you need to go to the website, TM, capital T, capital M, strangefire.org, because there will be updates about the conference schedule and details about what we've planned for you. In fact, we've been working for a number of months, 4 or 5 months, refurbishing our Family Center gymnasium to make sure we can accommodate everybody in a wonderful new place so that we can get everybody to participate who's registered to come. Even if you're unable to join us, registration is completely filled. You can visit the conference website, and there's some videos there, some things that'll help you as we answer questions about the charismatic movement. Remember, again, the website is capital T, capital M, and then strangefire.org.
Registration for the Strange Fire Conference did fill up quickly, evidence that Christians across the globe have concerns about charismatic doctrine and honoring the Holy Spirit. And if you can't attend, you can already watch videos of the conference speakers who address questions that you may have. That special web address is tmstrangefire.org. And now let's get to today's lesson, a part of John's series called The Doctrines of Grace. Here's John MacArthur with a look at God's irresistible grace.
Now, one of the most simple words in the English language is the word call. We all understand that word. We use it in a daily manner. It's one of the more common words in our vocabulary. We call our kids to come to dinner in the hope that they will respond. Or we call our husband to come to dinner and hope he will respond. We call our friends on the phone and hope that they will spurn the answer machine option and pick up the phone. It gets a little more important when a church calls a pastor, hoping he will accept the offer to come and shepherd them. And when you are called by your boss, the call becomes equally compelling. I remember as a kid being called to the principal's office. I remember in college receiving what was called a call slip to come immediately to the dean's office. Some of you have received a summons from a court. A summons is a call you really shouldn't ignore. Because if you are summoned to court, you probably ought to show up, or you may even get a visit from law officers. Maybe a little stronger than just a summons is a subpoena. A subpoena is a summons commanding the person designated to appear under a penalty for failure to do so. And so really there are all kinds of calls. There are those sort of minimalist calls that you sort of meekly offer to somebody to get them to the table, or those phone calls that you hope somebody might answer, all the way through to the far more serious call from your boss, or call from a church, or from a principal's office, or a summons from a court, or a subpoena with a threat for non-response. So there are increasingly more compelling kinds of calls. But in all those cases, you can still choose to ignore them. You can resist any of those calls and go on your way and do what you want. But Scripture reveals a truth about a call, a summons, that cannot be ignored and it cannot be resisted. It is the unyielding summons from God. It is a subpoena to appear before Him in His court for the purpose of being declared righteous, being declared just, having all your sins forgiven, and being set free from any judgment or any condemnation. This is the call that you read about in Romans 8. It is a call that justifies. It is a call that comes according to the divine purpose. It is a call that comes to those who are predestined, those who are elect, those who are chosen. It is a call that leads through justification to eternal glory. Theologians have called this call an effective call, an efficacious call, a determinative call, a decisive call, a conclusive call, an operative call, and an irresistible call. It is the call to salvation. It is the divine summons. It is the divine subpoena, not for judgment and not for punishment, but so that you can be declared righteous, free from condemnation, forgiven. It is the call to salvation. The question is, can it be denied? Can it be resisted? Is there such a thing as non-compliance? Well, verse 30 says, "Whom He predestined, these He called." So this call is limited to those who are the elect. We're not talking here about a general call, just a broad, sweeping gospel call. The kind of general call that the Apostle Paul talks about quoting the Old Testament prophet. Nor are we talking about the Matthew 22 words, "Many are called, but few are chosen." We're not talking about what we could call the general call of the gospel, the general outward invitation of the gospel. We're talking about something that comes only to the predestined and results in justification. And that is why it is called an efficacious call or an effectual call. Now, I want you to look at the word "called" here. It's part of a group of words that come out of a root, kaleo. Kaleo. Kaleo means to call into one's presence or to summon. It is used, for example, in Matthew 2:7, where it says, "Herod called the Magi into his court and they came." The word can be used in less serious circumstances, but it is the word that is used in the Scripture to speak of a summons. In fact, it is so descriptive that we as believers actually are the called. We are the called. The church is the ecclesia, not from kaleo, but from ekkaleo. Kaleo is to be summoned. Ekkaleo is a stronger word, a stronger summons to be called out. And the church then becomes the noun form of that verb, the called out ones. So if you ask, what is a church? It is the assembly of those called, summoned. Now, this becomes very clear throughout the Scripture, not just Romans 8. So I want to do a little Bible study with you. Go back to Romans 1. And I think you're going to enjoy this, and it's going to stretch you into a wonderful new category of understanding. Paul, Romans 1:1, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He's a good one to look at for this kind of call, because when the call of God came on the life of the apostle Paul, it was a sovereign, divine, gracious, and irresistible summons. He was slammed into the dirt on the road to Damascus with nothing to do but respond. He is called as an apostle. Down in verse 6, he's talking about the obedience of faith. In verse 5, obeying the gospel, among whom you also are the called. You are the called ones of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called saints, called holy ones. You are the called, the holy ones, the ones called out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Again, Paul called an apostle. He doesn't mean that that's his title. He means he was called by God, by the will of God, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And again, it was not something that he could resist. Verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. So whatever this calling is, it makes you a saint. In Romans 8, it justifies you. Here, it sanctifies you. And down in verse 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called into the fellowship that you enjoy with the Lord Jesus Christ, called by God. Over in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are, here it is again, the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now follow this. If you are among the called, then when Christ crucified is preached, He becomes to you the power of God and the wisdom of God. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it's foolishness. But to the called, whether Jew or Gentile, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is a call that makes the one called a part of the called, the ecclesia. Verse 26, consider your calling. Consider it. Consider your summons. Consider your divine subpoena, brethren. There are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen. And there you have your calling, brethren, is a calling based upon the fact that God has chosen. God has chosen. Verse 30 sums it up by saying, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus. Christ becomes to you the wisdom of God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption by His doing. He chose you, you are the predestined, and He called you. Whomever He predestines, He calls. Whomever He calls, He justifies and glorifies. We're talking here then about a calling into the fellowship of the saints, into fellowship with His Son. Turn to Galatians chapter 1 and see the consistency of this truth. Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul says, I'm amazed that Galatians were wandering off, being led astray by some false teachers, though they were believers. He says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ. And he is saying here that God called you to Himself, summoned you to Himself through the grace of Christ, and I'm amazed that you are wandering away from that, chasing after a deceptive, distorted, and different gospel. Down in verse 11 he says, I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism. I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, try to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism. That's how passionate they were about their religion. So he was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. And when he who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me. When God was pleased, God reached down knowing it had all been determined even from his mother's womb. And he called him through his grace when it pleased him. And he revealed his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul understood that he was just grabbed by the neck by God and awakened to the glory of Christ and saved and made an apostle. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And again, so that you understand that this is such common New Testament language, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, plead with you or entreat you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. This cannot be a general call. This cannot be a call that you can take or leave. It is a calling by which you have been called that demands that you live your life a certain way. Therefore, it is a transforming calling. It is a justifying, sanctifying calling, so that you are to live with all humility and gentleness and patience and showing forbearance to one another and be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is that one body, that one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is a calling to salvation and nothing else. This is a calling into the one body, the one Spirit, the one hope, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God and one Father of us all. It is a calling then that assumes a response of a life that is walked in a worthy manner. Whenever you see the idea of a call to salvation in the New Testament epistles, it is always this efficacious, effectual, determinative, operative call, the saving call. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And here it says in this familiar verse, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Here again, you were called into the body of Christ. You were called to peace through Christ who now rules in your heart. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And again, he says what he says in Ephesians 4, does Paul, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God, listen to this, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. This is a call to fellowship. This is a call into a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a call to holiness. This is a call into the body of Christ to join with the one Spirit, the one Lord, the one faith, the one God and Father of us all. And this is a call into His kingdom and glory. And again I say, and theologians who understand the Word of God in its magnificent simplicity have always said, this is a saving call. This is a divine summons. I like to call it the unyielding summons of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, verse 13, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. That's the great doctrine of election. God has chosen you from the beginning, before time began in the councils of eternity inside the Trinity. God chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Verse 14, and it was for this He called you. You were called because you were chosen. You were called because you were chosen from the beginning for salvation. You were chosen to be sanctified by the Spirit. You were chosen to put faith in the truth. And He called you to that through our gospel in order that you might gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you have it again. Election led to a calling, which led to salvation, justification, sanctification, and final glorification, unmistakable teaching of Scripture. First Peter, second chapter, verse 9. This is a rich, rich verse. Verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. These are just grand designations, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, I think probably when you study your Bible, every time you come across this word called in the epistles, you're going to see it jump off the page. This is not a wishful act on God's part to call you. It's not like calling the kids for dinner. This is an efficacious, effectual, determinative, operative call. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He didn't call you out of darkness hoping you'd come. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's where you went when He called you. When He called you, you came into His court and you were declared just. When He called you, you came into His body and you became a part of the body of Christ. When He called you, you came into the fellowship. When He called you, you became holy. When He called you, you were sanctified. When He called you, it was so that you would finally be glorified. Verse 21 says that you were called for this purpose, to follow in the footsteps of Christ. It was a call to live your life following the example of the Savior. Chapter 3, verse 9. Be harmonious, verse 8. Be sympathetic, be brotherly, be kind-hearted, be humble in spirit. Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. Give a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. This is the call that made you into a person who could be a blessing. This is the call that brought you into a life that you're to walk worthy of. This call has an effect. A preacher can call people to repentance. A preacher can plead with people to come to salvation in Christ. We can do our best. Prophets have and apostles have and preachers still do. That's a general outward plea, very different than the inward call that saves. Finally, Hebrews 3:1. Here's the difference. Chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, I love that. I have to refer to you more often as that. It's true. It's all true. Separated, imputed with righteousness. Therefore, holy brethren, here it is, partakers of a what? What is the word? A heavenly calling. We're not talking about the preacher here. We're talking about God. This is a divine calling, a heavenly calling. You are holy because of this divine calling. This is a glorious truth. Glorious truth, this calling. This is not obscure, is it? This is everywhere. And there are more. There are more. What are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about a calling of God that results in a person's salvation. And I will say it again, every use of the word call with regard to salvation in the New Testament epistles refers not to a general outward call, but to a specific inward efficacious saving act of God. It is in that sense an unyielding summons from God that you will respond to. That is why theologians have called it irresistible grace.
That's John MacArthur teaching on the irresistible call of God, continuing the series called The Doctrines of Grace. Hopefully, you've answered God's call to salvation, and perhaps grace to you has played a part in that. Or maybe you know someone who's heard these broadcasts and is answering God's call to be holy, to obey. Won't you let us know about that? Your story can be a real encouragement to us and to other listeners. Please contact us today. Use email addressing letters@gty.org. Or write to us through the regular mail at Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And thanks for remembering that Grace to You is funded by listeners like you. Your financial support helps us deliver the gospel by radio, internet, books, CDs, and television to your city, this country, and around the world. You can call our toll-free number anytime 24 hours a day, 1-800-55-GRACE. Or write to Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or you can visit the website, gty.org. When you go there, just click on the donate button in the upper right. You'll see how to make a one-time gift, automatic donations, or other kinds of gifts. That's gty.org. And there's always personalized help when you call 1-800-55-GRACE. And for more information about that Strange Fire conference that John mentioned earlier, go to the website tmstrangefire.org. It's there you can view video blogs by conference speakers explaining what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. That special website, tmstrangefire.org. And now for John MacArthur, thanks for joining us today. Please come back tomorrow for another 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You. It's a question you may have debated. Does God force anyone to be saved? Does He really drag anyone kicking and screaming into His kingdom? Hear what Scripture says on tomorrow's Grace to You.